Chapter 5. Whatever the lag and drag and journey may have been to the rest of the emigrants, it was a wonder and delight to the children, a world of enchantment, and they believed it to be peopled with the mysterious dwarfs and giants and goblins that figured in the tales the Negro slaves were in the habit of telling them nightly by the shuddering light of the kitchen fire. At the end of nearly a week of travel, the party went into camp near a shabby village which was caving, house by house, into the hungry Mississippi. The river astonished the children beyond measure. Its mile breadth of water seemed an ocean to them, in the shadowy twilight, and the vague ribbons of trees on the further shore, the verge of a continent which surely none but they had ever seen before. Uncle Dan, colored, aged 40. His wife, Aunt Jenny, aged 30, young Miss Emily Hawkins, young Mars Washington Hawkins and Aunt Mars Clay, the new member of the family, ranged themselves on a log, after supper, and contemplated the marvelous river and discussed it. The moon rose and sailed aloft through a maze of shredded cloud wreaths. The somber river just perceptibly brightened under the veiled light. A deep silence pervaded the air and was emphasized, at intervals, rather than broken, by the hooting of an owl, the baying of a dog, or the muffled crash of a raving bank in the distance. The little company assembled on the log were all children, at least in simplicity and broad and comprehensive ignorance, and the remarks they made about the river were in keeping with the character. And so awed were they by the grandeur, and the solemnity of the scene before them, and by their belief, that the air was filled with invisible spirits, and that the faint zephyrs were caused by their passing wings, that all their talk took to itself a tinge of the supernatural, and their voices were subdued to a low and reverent tone. Suddenly Uncle Dan exclaimed, "Chillen, da's some fin a common!" All crowded close together, and every heart beat faster. Uncle Dan pointed down the river with his bony finger. A deep coughing sound troubled the stillness, way toward a wooded cape that jetted into the stream a mile distant. All in an instant a fierce eye of fire shot out froth behind the cape, and sent a long brilliant pathway quivering athwart the dusky water. The coughing grew louder and louder, the glaring eye grew larger and still larger, glared wilder and still wilder. A huge shape developed itself out of the gloom, and from its tall duplicate horns dense volumes of smoke, starred and spangled with sparks, poured out and went tumbling away into the farther darkness. Nearer and nearer the thing came, till its long sides began to glow with spots of light which mirrored themselves in the river, and attended the monster like a torchlight procession. "What is it? Oh, what is it, Uncle Dan?" With deep solemnity the answer came. "It's the Almighty. Get down on your knees." It was not necessary to say it twice. They were all kneeling, in a moment. And then while the mysterious coughing rose stronger and stronger, and the threatening glare reached farther and wider, the Negro's voice lifted up its supplications. "O Lord, we's been mighty wicked, and we knows that we deserve to go to the bad place, but good Lord, de Lord, we ain't ready yet, we ain't ready. Let these poach island hab one mo' chance, jess as one mo' chance. Take the lay nigga if you's got to hab somebody. Good Lord, good de Lord, we don't know why you's a gwine to, we don't know who you's got the eye on, but we knows by the way you's a comin', we knows by the way you's a tiltin' along in the old chariot o' fire that some po' sinner's a gwine to catch it. But good Lord, those chilen don't long he, dey's f apostrophe m Abbottstown why dey don't know nothin', and you knows, yo own self, that dey ain't sponsible. And de Lord, good Lord, it ain't like yo mercy, it ain't like yo pity, it ain't like yo long-suffering loving-kindness for, to take this kind of vantage o' sick little chillin' as doses when dey so many ornery grown folks chuck full o' cussedness that once roastin' down da. Oh, Lord, spot a little chillin', don't tar the little chillin' away f apostrophe m dey friends, jesses let em off jesses dis once, and take it out in the lay nibga. He I is, Lord, he I is. The lay nigga's ready, Lord, The way the flaming and churning steamer was right abreast the party, and not 20 steps away. The awful thunder of a mud valve suddenly burst forth, drowning the prayer, and as suddenly Uncle Dan snatched a child under each arm, and scoured into the woods with the rest of the pack at his heels. And then, ashamed of himself, he halted in the deep darkness and shouted, but rather feebly, "He I is, Lord, he I is." There was a moment of throbbing suspense, and then, to the surprise and the comfort of the party, it was plain that the august presence had gone by, for its dreadful noises were receding. Uncle Dan led a cautious reconnaissance in the direction of the log. Sure enough, the Lord was just turning a point a short distance up the river, and while they looked the lights winked out, and the coughing diminished by degrees and presently ceased altogether. H'WSH. Well nowadays some folks says they ain't no fishency in Pra. Dis chili would like to know why we they been now, if it weren't for that Pra? That's it. That's it. Uncle Dan, do you reckon it was the prayer that saved us? Said Clay. Does I reckon? Don't I know it? Why was yo' eyes? Weren't the Lord jes' as a human chow? Chow. Chow. And a goin' on terrible, and do the Lord carry on that way doubt they somethin' don't suit him? And warn't he a lookin' right at this gang he, and warn't he jes' as a reakin' for him? And I spec he'd whine to let him off doubt somebody asked him to do it? No indeedy. Do you reckon he saw us, Uncle Dan? The law sakes, Chili, didn't I see him a lookin' at us? Dot, did you feel scared, Uncle Dan? No sir. When a man is gauged in pra, he ain't afraid o' nothin', they can't nothin' touch him. Well, what did you run for? Well, I Mars Clay, when a man is under the influence of the spirit, he do know what he's about, no sir. That man do know what he's about. You might take and toss the head off that man, and he wouldn't scarcely find it out. Dates the Hebrew chillin that went through the fire. They was burnt consideable ob cause they was, but they didn't know nothing about it. He'll write up a gin. If they had been gals, they had missed they long hair, maybe, but they wouldn't felt the burn. I don't know, but what they were girls. I think they were. Now Mars Clay, you knows better than that. Sometimes a body can't tell whether you's a saying what you means or whether you's a saying what you don't mean, case you says them both the same way. But how should I know whether they were boys or girls? Goodness sakes, Mars Clay, don't the good book say? Sides, don't it call them the Hebrew chillin'? If they was gals, wouldn't they be the Shebrew chillin'? Some people that can read don't care to take no notice when they do read. Well, Uncle Dan, I think that, dash my. Here comes another one up the river. There can't be two. We gone this time, we done gone this time, show. They ain't two, Mars Clay, they's the same one. The Lord can pair Eberua in a second. Goodness, how do fire, and the smoke do belch up. That mean business, honey. He comin' now like he forget something. Come long, chillin'. Time is gwine to ruse. Go long with you, ole Uncle Daniel gwine out in the woods, to wrestle in prod ole nigger gwine to do what he can to save you a gin. He did go to the woods and pray, but he went so far that he doubted, himself, if the Lord heard him when he went by. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.